So let's get going. It's me again, and it's you again. Great. Thanks for coming. So this one is going to be about extended events. I'm just curious as to how many people in the room were in the room on Wednesday when I did a talk about extended events, or did a talk that was partially about extended events. I did a talk about tracing, and tracing has to do with extended events. Good. Okay, so you were in the room? Okay. So I'm not going to start off with actually doing the demo that failed, but I will get to the demo that failed, and I'll do that one, and I'll do all the other ones about extended events. So this is an extended event talk about Denali extended events. And in Denali, extended events really come of age. Just as curious, my own curiosity, how many people have used extended events in SQL Server 2008? One. Really? One. How many people know what extended events are? And you came to the talk anyway. Oh, two? Okay, and you came to the talk anyway. Cool. Must be my force of personality, right? So extended events are going to take over trace. So let's talk about what extended events are. First of all, there's all my stuff if you want. By the way, I'm going to upload all of these to or give them to the people that put the conference on afterwards. So my mail address will be on there if you want. Also, I said I work for a company called SQL Skills. What did I just do with it? Oh, there we go. There is the SQL Skills website. Actually, this is the SQL Skills website. And so what I'm going to do after the conference is over is take all of the demos that I've done in the entire conference and give them to Paul Randall to upload. They'll be under resources. Oh, he fixed that. Good. They'll be under resources, and they'll be under demo scripts and sample databases. And basically, if you've ever been to anything SQL Skills or wanted anything SQL Skills, these are all the talks that we've done at any conference since pre-2004. At least it didn't say BC, right? Okay. So anyway, all the stuff will be up there for you. And basically, it'll be tagged as to which ones require Denali CTP1 and which ones don't. All right. So what is extended events then? Since people weren't going to tell me that they actually knew what extended events are, I will tell you. Extended events is an eventing system that they put in SQL Server 2008. Now, what can an eventing system do? Well, an eventing system can be used as a pseudo trace facility to actually point out and help you solve problems. It is the diagnostic tool of SQL Server in the future. And in Denali, extended events is actually going to become SQL Profiler Trace, or it's going to subsume SQL Profiler Trace. It's actually going to go past SQL Profiler Trace. Now, what I'm going to do is to run one of the programs coming up that the man from Extended Events, the Microsoft guy that's in charge of Extended Events, put on the web about how to convert an existing trace to Extended Event session. So because people haven't got started with it yet, I want to talk about what Extended Events are and what they do, what they're for. So they're part of SQL Server 2008, and they're really meant to subsume not only SQL Profiler events, but also they're meant to subsume the auditing in Profiler. You can do auditing through extended events. That's how it's implemented. And they're also meant to subsume event notifications, if you know what event notifications are from 2005. Okay. So they're used for problem diagnosis and information gathering. And the engine for these extended events lives in SQL Server itself. So the engine, the part of it that generates the events, lives in SQL Server. But consumers of the extended event can be in proc or out of proc. And I'll talk about how this works as we go on. An ETW consumer, that's event tracing for Windows consumer, is actually provided with extended events. And that's the way that extended events work with the rest of the world. So what I am going to do, and it is going to work this time, is an extended event trace where I'm going to trace SQL Server and I'm going to trace the Windows kernel. And then I'm going to correspond extended events with the Windows kernel. Okay. So let's talk about extended events in Denali. So first off, extended events have been around since SQL Server 2008, right? And nobody apparently knows they exist. And how many people are running 2008? I'm just curious. If you're running 2008, you're running extended events right now. Really, you are, whether you know it or not. In fact, let's see how I can show you what you're running. So over here, this is Management Studio. And over here, I have an extended event session thing. Okay, and this is just a list of extended event sessions that I've made up and I've gathered up throughout the years. and I'm going to bring this up in management studio, and I am going to go out, and as the first thing that I do, he said, there we go, I'm going to go out and look for extended event sessions that are running in the system. And those are registered sessions. Here's running sessions. Okay, there we go. Okay. And notice that, and you can do this too at home. This is select star from sys, or where you work. Select star from sysdm xe sessions. And if you do that, you will see the system health session running. The system health session is the one that comes with the system. It starts up when SQL Server starts up. It collects diagnostic information, and it goes away when SQL Server comes down. And nobody knows, or very few people know, that this is even there, the system health session. And it was running because a bunch of folks from PSS, that's product support services at Microsoft, decided to collect this information all the time, whether you wanted to collect it or not. Now, they don't collect it to send it back to Microsoft. They collect it so if you have a crash that's difficult to solve, that they have that information already at hand. So what I wanted to show you was what this event session is collecting and where it comes from. So what I went and did was find the definition of this session, and I found the definition of this session on the actual SQL Server install. And in 2008, I'm not sure it's still this way in Denali, but in 2008, it's in a file called utables.sql. And what the, I should have actually described the protocol first, but they're creating an event session called System Health. It's in the master database on the server, and then they're going to add events. Now, since it's, you're getting started with extended events, let's just say that extended events are trace events, right? So what are they going to trace? Well, they're going to trace SQL Server's error reported. And what errors are they going to trace? Well, somebody from PSS did a whole lot of work to figure out what they were going to trace. So they're going to trace events of severity greater than 20, and they're going to get specific errors, right, that are less than 20. So severity greater than 20 usually means some kind of internal error. They're tracing for these all the time. Here's this error, this error, this error, and what are those errors? Those are out-of-memory errors. And so out-of-memory errors are difficult to solve. So what they've done is they've put this in the system so that when you get an out-of-memory error, they'll trace it right away. Now, events also go along with these things called action. In other words, events capture certain data, certain fields worth of data, and each event has its own fields of data. And the actions are the additional fields of data that you can collect. So imagine you have Profiler, and when you select an event in Profiler, by default it selects a few fields of data, and then you can add more fields of data. That's what events and actions are like. So these, imagine just these are Profiler events and additional fields of data. So if you get one of these difficult to solve errors, what they're going to do in addition is they're going to take a call stack trace, they're going to get your session ID, your SQL text, and your transact SQL stack. First of all, I don't see anybody, maybe it's the afternoon. Nobody's really excited by the fact that I just said transact SQL stack. No? Right. In every modern programming language, you guys do other programming languages but SQL? Right? In every modern programming language, if you have something that crashes, what do you get? A stack trace, except for one. What's that one? SQL. Well, now, there is a stack trace. We just didn't get it before. So now you have a transact SQL stack trace, which means what? Which means that you can get an error that says, I had an error in stored procedure A, and you could tell whether you got to A by going to stored procedure C that calls B that calls A, or F that calls G that calls A, or X that calls Y that calls Z that calls A. You can actually get the entire SQL stack. So that's kind of nice. That's something we could never do before. Okay. I always thought there was never a SQL stack, but apparently they knew all along. In addition, they're actually going to monitor things about the internal SQL OS. That's the integration with the operating system. So they're going to monitor for scheduler non-yielding ring buffer recorded. I'm not even sure exactly what that is, but it sounds awful. And notice that if you've ever wondered about deadlocks and somebody reports a deadlock and you go, well, I guess I'll have to turn on the profiler trace. No, you don't, right? They're actually capturing deadlocks and they're out there already. So you no longer have to go bring up profiler. And this is in 2008, right? This is not even in Denali. This is 2008. And this was running all along and you didn't know it. Okay, so we can cause a deadlock if you want and we'll see if it's in there. SQL OS wait information. So everybody's heard of the wait stats, right? You do performance by looking at the weight stats. Well, this guy is going to capture the equivalent of weight stats. And he's going to capture weight stats when the duration is greater than 15 seconds and when the weight type is greater than 31. And notice that somebody did a lot of work to decode all the weight type numbers for the things that they specifically wanted to wait for. So this is somebody in PSS doing this so that if you call with a problem, they can say, could you go and dump this buffer? Because inside of this buffer is all the information about the problem you say you're having. Cool. That was something they couldn't do before. They'd have to have you reproduce the problem. Everybody okay with this? So that's 15 seconds if they're more than 15, more than 30 in weight type less than 22, duration of less than more than five seconds for these weight types, and duration of more than 45 seconds for these weight types, or is it 4.5 seconds? 4.5 seconds for this weight type. And what they're going to do is, and this is the interesting part, I guess, although I was kind of surprised, I guess they didn't want to fill up your disk with files and not tell you about it, because it didn't look like they told you about it, right? What they did was they added a target for this. So targets and extended events are where the events go, where the events are recorded. And you have a choice of targets as far as what you want to do when you make up your own event session. Notice where they're recording these two. They're recording these two a ring buffer. Ring buffer what? A circular buffer in memory. Well, that's not good, I don't think, because, you know, if you got an out-of-memory error, ring buffer in memory is not going to be around because it's going to crash. But anyway, they decided to do that so that if you wanted to, you could change the target to something else. They also allocate a maximum amount of memory so that it doesn't eat up all the memory in your system. And they start it up at startup time, and it always runs. So if you do have a problem or you do have a deadlock, you could go and interrogate this stuff and find out what's going on. And they're running this all the time. Okay. Now in Denali, this even gets better. Because it even gets better because the extended events are positioned to subsume SQL Profiler. In other words, we've had this tool around for a long time, SQL Profiler. It has an overhead in running it. Depending on how you run it, you can really bog down the system by running Profiler. Right? If you really want to bog down the system by running Profiler, start a Profiler trace and trace to a SQL Server database. Right? And then look at the trace while you're tracing it. You're actually running two traces, one to look at and one to go to the database. You're writing to the database, which is going to slow all the other database activities down. And if you even want to do worse, well, I don't know if you do worse this way, but trace it across the network, right? That would even be more fun, right? So rather than using Profiler, eventually, but not in this release, Profiler will go away, right? Profiler is not going to go away in this release, though. And what they're going to do is they're going to have a new Profiler based on extended events. Of course, if there was such a new Profiler, and I haven't seen it yet, it's not in the CTP I have, so I can't show you this Profiler. So one of the things that was a problem with extended events in 2008 was there was no GUI for it. And so we hope there's going to be a GUI for it in Denali, because that's what we really need. And if it's going to subsume Profiler, there better be a GUI for it. Okay. So Mike Waschel, who's a guy on the extended events team, wrote a blog that says migrating from SQL trace to extended events. And he's actually gone and wrote a program so that if you have a server-side trace queue already in SysTraces, then you can convert that to extended events. And so I'd like to do that for you just for fun, and I'll use his program. So we'll do a start here. We'll bring up Profiler. There's Profiler. And when Profiler comes up, I'm going to start a Profiler trace. So this guy is not going to go away just yet because people know how to use him. And we're going to start a Profiler trace over here. And we're going to select out the standard trace template, and we're going to add a couple of extra events in here. Let's do show all events, and let's add, performance. And we'll go in here and do statistics collection won't be reasonable, but we'll do gracious. We can capture the show plan. That's probably too much. Might as well. All right, show plan XML for statistics profile, which is the XML show plan. That ought to bog things down. Okay. Anything else that's useful? Oh, yeah, let's do the caching. Okay, so let's look at the plan cache. Great. And let's look at recompiles. I don't think we'll get any, but there you go. Okay. So that ought to be enough events to trace. Oh, bummer. Sorry, this is the first time apparently I've done this on this system. There, now you can see it too. All right, great. So now that I've got that trace session set out, Do I want to just sit there and watch it? Well, the best way to run a trace is not to run it this way, but to run it to a file. And to run it to a file, you have to have what's called a server-side trace queue. And that's also called a trace definition. So we're going to export a trace definition for that trace that I just made up for SQL Server 2005 through SQL 11. And we'll call this tracedef.sql. Okay, so there's tracedef.sql in the administrators. Great. So that trace is what I want to convert to an extended event session. Let's do that. By the way, I did not do this to practice before, so we hope I did practice on one that was there, though. Okay. So I have to go and get my, let's see, go in here and get this. And there's tracedef right here, and we'll bring up tracedef. Ooh, now I have three management studios up. Okay. And this is, you probably know, the definition for what they call a server-side trace queue. And basically what this is the definition of what trace events we're going to collect, what filters we have on there. And so this is a script that runs sptracecreate, and sptracecreate is going to take that definition and it's going to put it in the system trace space. And we have to tell it which file we want it to do, so let's do that. My trace. Okay, that's great. And notice that what you actually do when you use that graphic user interface is you make up something that looks like this. And it sets all the events by number. And then at the very end, it'll set the filters. And what this thing does, if you just let it run, is to set the status to 1, which turns it on. I don't want to turn it on. I just want to catalog it. So when I run this piece of code, there's the piece of code. I have invented now a new trace definition called trace ID number 2. And if I do want to turn that on, all I have to do is say exec sp trace set status 2, 1. And 2, 1 will actually turn that on and run it, and I can do it using automation any time of the day or night that I want. And when I want to turn it off, then I set it to 0. And if I want to get rid of it, then I can set it to, I believe, -1, and that'll get rid of the trace definition. Everybody okay with that? So now I can actually go look at these in sys-traces. So select star from sys.traces. And there should actually be 2 of them in here. One's the one that comes with the system, number 1. And the other one was my trace right here. So let's take that trace definition and convert it to an extended event session, because that's what we're going to be using in Denali, hopefully, if we want to do it the new way. All right. So let's go do that. So in here, this is a copy of Mike's program called Trace to Extended Events. I'll bring it up just to show it to you, but actually it turns out to be a .NET stored procedure. So he's made a .NET stored procedure that reads a trace ID, which is why I had to catalog that trace definition, and takes a string for what it's going to make the session name. And when you run this, it's actually going to take the trace definition and convert it to an extended event session. Everybody okay with that? All right, let's run it then. This is convert trace to extended event. And what I've done, since it's a .NET piece of code, is I've cataloged it into the master database just to make sure. We'll build and deploy it again, and this should be cataloged into the master database when it's done. Okay, great. Oh, it said deploy failed. What was wrong with that? Let's see if it's up there. If not, I'll go deploy it manually. Enough of this. There we go. Master. Okay, and under master, I want to see programmability. And under that, I want to see assemblies. And it's already there. Okay, good. Don't ask me why they did that. Okay, so this is a stored procedure, so I need to do exec, convert to extended event. And I want to convert the session that I just did. And I want to call it my event session. And what it's going to do is it's going to spit out DDL. Function. Convert trace to extended event is supposed to be a stored procedure. And it didn't like that at all, or it wasn't there. I'm in master. It's supposed to be in master. Under programmability stored procedures, there we go. DBO, create event session. Oh, okay. So for some reason, he named it differently. So we'll actually copy that name. Can I copy it? Yeah, never mind. So DBO, create event session from trace. Convert event to trace. Okay. I wonder why I got that different name from create event session from trace. Okay, come on, spell it. Gracious. Okay, so now that I've got the name spelled right, let me go and run this. Okay. Well, that wasn't very good. Two, thank you. Okay. I'm glad you noticed that. Usually there's two traces in there. There we go. So what they did is they auto-generated the extended event session that corresponds to that. So let's see what this would look like. Can everybody see that in the back? So what this DDL looks like is you say create event session, and you name the event session, and then you say on server, because the definitions all live in master, and add event, SQL Server existing connection, so it does that, puts these actions in there, and notice it's even got the same filter where name is not like SQL Profiler, then add event for login and log out, and each of the events I had in there are in the extended event session. I got to stop doing that. There we go, or in the extended event session. So there we go. And all the actions, all the additional information that I asked for are also in the extended event session. So to the answer to the question, what is extended events? It's a trace facility. It's basically SQL trace now. Okay. What's the target? Okay, let's see, what is the target? It might actually put it out there without the target. We'll see. Yeah, look at that. He put it out there without the target. So basically, this is the session, and what you have to do is you can put a target in. Now, the other interesting thing about extended events is you do have a choice of targets, and so he decided not to put one in for you. So you can actually create an event session just like that. And if you create an event session without a target and turn it on, nothing happens. And you can add a target while the thing is running. So if I wanted to have that trace for the PSS people actually write to a file, they could add an additional target to the event session that's already running. They don't have to bring it down and bring it back up, which is kind of cool. So this one, you could do the same thing. Let's just make sure I'm not lying. You could take and catalog this by itself, and then I could go in and add a target to it. Come on. Let's do the whole thing. There. Okay, so we'll do a new query, and I don't believe a target is actually required. Good. So now I have an event session out there called my event session, and I can go out there and add a target for that. Let's go add a target. Do you want the ring buffer in memory? Sure, we'll do that. Okay, so basically this is an alter event session. Let's see if I get the... So the rule is, in my house, Bob gets two chances to do DDL correctly. And if he doesn't do DDL correctly, he cheats, right? Bob never uses the GUI. All right. Alter event session. What's it called? My event session. On server, and then add. And I'm almost sure that on server is required. Good for me. All right, so I didn't even need my two chances. So notice what you can do. You can have an event session out there sitting there, and then you can change the target if you want dynamically, or you can add more than one target. And in fact, they've even added new targets to Denali, which are kind of interesting, but I haven't got to targets yet. I'm getting ahead of myself. Everybody okay with this? Okay. By the way, is that trace running now? No, it's not. An event session is just like making up a trace to be able to do in the future. In order to start the event session running, you have to say alter event session with state equals start. And then you can stop it by saying with state equals stop. And so I'll show you some interesting event sessions coming up. So extended event is going to subsume SQL Profiler. Hopefully we'll have a nice GUI. We won't have to do that. In CTP1, we have to do that. Okay, fine. The other thing about extended event, because nobody knew, or that caused nobody to know that it exists, was that extended events were not supported in SQL Server Management Studio. You actually had to know the DDL to be able to do an event session. And so in Denali, extended events are now supported in SQL Server Management Studio. So conceivably, if I wanted to, I could go to Management Studio, and it's under, believe it or not, Management. There we go. And there is a new folder here someplace. There we go, for extended events. And so for extended events here, didn't I just turn on the... I thought I turned on the... goodness. There we go. the magnifying glass. There we go. For extended events over here, they're just going to give you right now sessions. And so therefore, I can go under sessions and I can see all the sessions that I've actually defined out there, and I can see which ones are started and which ones are stopped. I assume, because the model is so nice, that somebody's going to write a nice GUI that allows you to configure these sessions, and hopefully it'll come in the future, right? Now, having said that, what can I do with it now? Well, I can right-click on a session right here, and I can say import session or export session. So only export makes sense here. It's going to export the event session definition to a file. But of course, interestingly, this file has to end with the world suffix since 1999, .xml, right? So it's going to export it to an XML file. So what does that mean? You can create these event sessions and you can pass them around. In fact, I really like the idea of a repository for event sessions for special occasions, right? That would go right along with my repository for something else that I was going to do. I think I actually might do both of those. Oh, for policies. There should be a repository for policies for policy-based management, and there should be a repository for event sessions, right? So that you can do diagnose this or diagnose that. I collect these things right now, so it'd be interesting if I could get the permission of the authors to put these things up in one place. Okay, great. So what can you do with the XML version of it? Import it, right? Import session. And really, if you think about it, what's that the equivalent of? That's the equivalent of having a template for Profiler. It's a Profiler template. And in fact, you can start the session going, and with extended event DDL, you can actually add events to a running session. But right now, that's all you can do with this GUI. I assume there's more coming in the future before they ship it. And you can see the sessions you have defined. You can import a session or you can export a session for XML. They do not give you, as far as I know, any sessions to import yet, though. You have to have your own. So I'm going to give you mine, at least to start off with. Okay, can I do anything else with these sessions? Can I stop them and start them? Yeah, I can start and stop the sessions too. Okay, but that's about it. I assume someplace in the future you're going to have a properties thing, and under properties you're going to have a nice GUI and you're going to be able to fix the session or do whatever you want to it or define a new one. Everybody okay with that? So in order to do that, what is the programming API that they use to program SQL Server Management Studio? Well, that would be SMO, right? SQL Server Management Objects. SQL Server Management Objects have sort of been more famous than they used to be, because they're not only hidden in the background and used to program Management Studio, but they're also used to do PowerShell scripting with. So if you've ever done any PowerShell scripting with SQL, you may have run into SMO. But really, the purpose for SMO was not to have a thing that you could use or an API that you can use instead of having DDL. The purpose of SMO was to actually make SQL Server Management Studio. So this is not an end in itself, right? This is something that they made for themselves that you can use. And I happen to like the SMO libraries. I think they're rather consistent, but they're rather wordy. I've seen somebody that really likes SMO write a 70-line SMO script to create a table. And I wrote a mail and I said, dude, that's a 6-line SQL script, right? So, you know, a PowerShell script that's 70 lines long to create a table doesn't appeal to me. And so given a choice of writing my own SMO code, which, by the way, I'm going to write before the end, and writing my own SMO code or, just writing DDL, give me DDL every time, right? In fact, I'll take DDL over a wizard, too. So they're in SMO, there's an object model for extended events, and there's also extended events in the PowerShell provider. So let me just show you those really quickly, and we'll get back to these. Here's the PowerShell provider, and notice what I'm using in this case is the mini shell, SQL PS. SQL PS is going to be improved if you like PowerShell. It's going to be improved also in Denali. SQL PS was a mini shell, which meant all the people that were PowerShell aficionados didn't like it. A mini shell was a specific PowerShell shell that you could not add extensions to. And so in Denali, they're actually going to change that so it won't be a mini shell. Okay. So it comes up in a directory that looks like SQL Server. It is SQL Server. Everything in PowerShell is based upon a file system concept, right? Where everything looks like a file system, a hierarchical file system. So if I do a directory here, right, it's going to show me all the subdirectories of SQL Server. So notice we have SQL, which is the server itself, SQL policy, SQL registration, and oh, voila, we have X event. So you can actually use the PowerShell provider to program things as well by going through the directory. And so if I cd down to X event, and look what we have here, machine name, okay. This is for people that don't like a GUI. We have to call the default instance default because you can't just have it be nothing. There we go. And notice that for extended events, you have packages and sessions. And so I'm going to describe the object model more as we go on in the talk. Everybody seen PowerShell? Okay, so if you haven't seen PowerShell, let's go down to look at the real stuff. So CD to SQL. Under SQL, we have the machine. Under the machine, we have default. And by the way, it doesn't like the fact that I'm trying to make it do statement completion. And now I broke it. That's neato. Really? Did I actually break it? There we go. Now it works. Now look at that. That's amazing. Oh, why? Because I misspelled the name of the server? No, I didn't misspell the name of the server. All right. One more time. Goodness, you're not allowed to do this more than once. Okay. CD to SQL, dir. CD to ZMV11A, that's the name of the machine, dir. CD to default, okay. And then this is all the stuff that you get at the instance level. So audits and availability groups, that's a new Denali thing, and backup devices and credentials and all that. Let's go into databases. So CD into databases with an S. And there's one directory entry for every database that I happen to have. Great. So I can look at the databases like this if I want to now. And yes, I do actually have a database that's called Turkish Contained. That's for a different talk. Okay. And I can scroll down into one of the databases. How about CD to pubs? And under pubs, you can see what you can see at a database level, which is tables and synonyms and triggers and symmetric keys and all this other good stuff. So basically, it's SQL Server as a file system. And it's based upon the SMO model. So what they did was they just took the things that they used to make Management Studio, and they made up a provider that makes it look like a file system. And I teach actually a whole day-long class about how to use PowerShell with SQL Server. Right? I like the idea of navigating through the file system like this to get information, but I don't necessarily like using SMO to create a table that takes, 75 lines of code. But we're going to talk more about this because I'm going to talk about what X events do in this model. Okay, so pre-2008 supports performance monitor counters, SQL profiler, and event tracing for Windows. And event tracing for Windows is the Windows tracing system that nobody knows about. Because only one person came to the talk on Wednesday, let me do this one more time really quickly. And I am looking at the time. Okay, so if we go over here and just bring up a regular old command prompt, one of the things that I can use is the event tracing for Windows Uber program called Logman. And I can say logman query providers. And basically, these are all the trace providers that are in the operating system. And how many people knew logman existed? This is the trace facility you did. This is the trace facility that nobody knows exists. And this is the best trace facility in the world. There. Okay, and it turns out, what can you trace at this point? Can I make this window smaller? Oh, yeah, I can. Good. Okay, what can you trace at this point? Well, let's go up and just start alphabetically. By the way, this is Windows Server. There were too many? Oh, come on. All right. Let's see if I can find any good ones. All right. Well, a kernel trace would be nice. So you could actually trace the kernel with this if you wanted to. But anything in Windows you can trace with this. Starting in Vista and Windows Server 2008, you can trace a million different things, and apparently I didn't have enough lines to cover it. Let's actually set the properties for this so I can see all the lines. This was layout. And rather than have a height of 300, let me have a height of 500. Okay, good. And so now I should be able to scroll this back up again. So let's, okay, see all the providers. But what you can trace with this, just a few of them that I've seen, is you can trace Active Directory, you can trace IIS, you can trace ASP.NET. If I had Exchange installed on the machine, you could trace Exchange. You can trace the Windows kernel. I don't even know what WPD is. Okay. And notice there's my X-Event package 0. You can trace X-Event with this as well. Windows Mobile, Windows Firewall, tablet, security. You can trace Kerberos authentication. So if you ever had trouble doing Kerberos authentication, you could trace that. Network trace. All this stuff in Windows. It's just amazing. So this is all integrated with SQL Server, meaning that I could do a SQL Server X-Event trace, and I could do a trace of the kernel, and I could put them together into one big old trace. Really, really. Okay. So we've always had this. So how are extended events different? Extended events are different than Profiler because they have less overhead. The overhead, because there really are trace points that are already in the SQL Server code. They basically went through between 2005 and 2008 and instrumented the SQL Server code with about 400 trace points. And these trace points, the premise behind these were they were supposed to be fast. So the overhead of a single event is less than 2 microseconds on a 2 gigahertz processor. So they're really less overhead, lots less overhead than Profiler. It's event and consumer agnostic, which means any event can be processed by any consumer. Right? If they put a new, for example, trace event in, they're going to have to fix the trace event GUI to actually allow that trace event. Extended events, though, keeps its metadata in SQL Server itself. So if they put a new event in, they just put in the new metadata. If there is a new GUI, they will just fix the GUI, or, you know, populate the GUI from what's in the metadata. Great. It allows actions to be taken when events fire. You've already seen a couple of them that we can collect. Additional information can be included, and it has a rich predicate system for filtering these things out. So the way that you manage them, if you don't have a GUI, which you can do in 2008, is you can use create, alter, and drop event session. And event sessions specify which events you want to collect, which actions you want to do, and you don't have to do any actions. You can just collect the fields that they have, and what targets you want it to go to. So having said that, since you guys said you didn't do too much with this, let's actually do a really simple one just to point out how it works in general. Okay. So let's do this one. This is my beginner one. This is the first one I ever did. Okay. So I have decided I want to capture errors. And so because there was no GUI, I had to go through the extended event metadata. This is the metadata. And find out what events actually had error in their name. Okay. And when I go through and I do that, notice that I have a background job, a CDC error, error reported, error log written, OADB error, and security error. Okay, well, I want an error reported. So that's the error that I want to trace with extended events. So let us make up an extended event session to do that ourselves. So we'll create an event session called error session. And again, you have to put in the word on server. And we're going to add one event. The events all come in what's called a package. And so in order to put in an event, you have to use a two-part name, the package name and the event name. Fine. There are only 6 packages. There are 4 packages in 2008. There are 6 in, or 5 and 7 in Denali. So we're going to add this event in the SQL Server package called error reported. And it's going to collect a set of fields. We can find out what those fields are. In addition to these, we're going to have it collect the call stack, the session ID, and the SQL text. And we don't want them to collect every error. That would be too many. So we only want them to be collected where the error number is equal to 547. What's 547? A referential integrity error. And where package counter is less than 3, what's that about? We only want it to collect the first 3. And then whether we turn it off or not, it doesn't collect anymore. That's kind of cool. We can limit the number it collects. By the way, if you're doing sampling, you can also choose to collect every 10th error if you want to, or every 10th anything you want to sample. So we're actually going to go to the ring buffer again. And this with max dispatch latency equals 1 second. If the target is asynchronous, part of the fact that it doesn't have any overhead is the fact that it's going to write to that target asynchronously. So I've said that the max dispatch latency is going to be 1 second. I'm not going to see that right away, but I'm going to see that within 1 second. Great. So I should be able to just create this session right here. And by the way, I just wrote a blog entry on how this changed a little bit in Denali. Oh, and it says it already exists. So what do I have to do at this point? Well, I can assume I did the right one, or drop event session error session on server and then create it over again. Okay, good. There. Go. There. Okay, so there we go. Now, all that creates is a trace definition. And so now that we have a trace definition, let's start it up. So there we start it up. Alter it with state equals start. And now we can look at some metadata if we want to. These are all the sessions that are registered. You already saw this in the GUI, by the way, but there they all are. And more information about my session. So it actually keeps all the session information in the metadata. There it is. Right, the error session, error reported, packages SQL server, and my predicate. Like I said, it has a really nice predicate filtering system. The sessions that are running, so now it should not only be system health, but me as well. There we go, system health and me. And now let's go, because I've waited long enough, let's actually go cause a 547 error. 547 is a referential integrity error. 547. The delete conflicted with a delete constraint. Okay, fine. So now all we have to do is wait a minute, right? Because it can dispatch, take a minute to dispatch, and then go back and see what we have out here. I'm too lazy to wait a minute, so let's go and see what we have now. And by the way, you have just seen one of the Achilles heels of extended events and one of the reasons why it didn't take off, because it puts out all its information in XML. So that means in order to decode this information, you have to know XML. And it turned out that all of the DBAs that were into this started to learn XML right away. Okay, let's see if I have a header or I actually have an event. Okay, so if I click on this XML, oh good, I got an event. Okay, and it says the event was reported at SQL Server at the timestamp. It was error number 547. This was severity 16. The error event collects by default the error number, the severity, the state, whether or not it's user-defined, the category, the destination, and all this good stuff. But here's the other stuff we put in here. The call stack is fairly useless unless you have SQL Server with symbols, and then you can actually go through the call stack, and you know where SQL Server's load point is, right, their addresses. Right, the session ID right here, the SQL text, and there's the SQL text right there. Great, so I have this event. So once I have this event, nobody wants to look at XML except XML aficionados, so I can decompose it into rows and columns. There's the way to decompose it into rows and columns. By the way, there's a guy named Adam Mechanic, I believe he published this, that's a SQL Server MVP, that wrote a program so you can feed in what event you're getting, and it will actually make you a piece of XML that looks like this, a decomposition piece of XML. Okay, so there's my rows and columns. Great, the error number, the session, and the SQL statement. Notice I didn't get everything out there. Everybody okay with this one? Great. Let's actually go look what I've collected in the system health. How would I do that? No, the same way. So where error session name equals system health, just to see if I have a healthy system or what. Okay, and just to prove that it's not, there we go. So there's the that's more information about my session, never mind. There's the one that collects the system health, so. Okay, there we go right here. Okay, there's my ring buffer. And so far I haven't collected anything in system health. I have a really healthy system. Just to prove that that is what it's doing, let's cause a deadlock. Right, so let's cause a deadlock here. One person in pubs. Two persons in pubs. I can cause a deadlock every time, right? Ready? Begin transaction, update authors, set AUF name equals Bob, where AUL name equals White. Don't commit the transaction. There. Go over to here and say begin transaction, update jobs, where set, goodness, job description equals foo, where job ID equals 2. Okay, and after I've done that, we'll do select star from authors, which should hang this side, and go over to the other side and say select star from jobs, which will hang that side. 1, there, now he's hung. 2, deadlock. Deadlock. Who lost? Well, that guy lost really quick. Okay, so there's my 1205 message, and I've got a deadlock. So if I wait enough time, I should see that in the system health session, right? That was the whole point of doing all that. So let's see if the system health session is going to help me here. So we'll go back to our event sessions, and we'll go back to, there it is, the system health session. Hopefully we've given it enough time. And that ring buffer actually should have, there it is, information in there, and there's the deadlock and the deadlock timeout victim. So if you're running 2008 and you get a deadlock, you don't have to reproduce it. It's out there already. Just harvest the ring buffer before you bring SQL Server down and back up. Great. Now, that's a pretty awful XML, so I'll talk about how to decompose some of these things. There's actually code out on the web about how to decompose a deadlock. But I want to show you one more as long as I'm showing these off. Here's one that's actually going to get the SQL stack. So what we're going to do is we're going to look for 547 errors again. I'm going to get the SQL stack. And I'm going to get only the first five of them, and I'm going to put it to the ring buffer again. There. Error cannot be found. I wrote a blog article about this. They actually changed error to error number. Nice. So it's not backward compatible with SQL Server 2008, where this used to work. But there you go. Okay. So now what I want to do is do this. Start the session. And let's cause a 547 error the hard way. So in the pubs database, what I want to do is create proc A that calls B, create proc B that calls C, create proc C that calls D, and in D, come on. Okay, in C, I'm going to cause a 547 error. Good, okay, great. So now let's invoke A. Fine, 547. Now we have to wait for a minute, right? It's a lot easier to test these out with errors that you can actually produce on demand. I could make one up for an out-of-memory error, but we can sit around for a while and wait for that to happen, right? Unless you know how to eat up all the memory in SQL Server, and you know we could probably get somebody to do that. Let's see if we've got the errors for my session yet. Oh, there we go. We got my one error. And notice over here, here's the SQL stack, and now I'm not happy again because the SQL stack turns out to be a stack of handles. Well, how do I resolve a SQL handle to a SQL statement? Oh, that's just resolve handle to statement with, what is it, sysdm exec, goodness, SQL text, right? Given a handle, you get back a SQL text. Okay, fine. Jeez. So I'm going to have to put this someplace in my, it's late, right? So I'm going to trip over something just to be amusing. Am I off now? Okay. So by the way, this is some hideous XML. Because of the way that that showed up there, right, look at this. This is supposed to be XML. What's this? Well, it's nested XML where they actually put less than in XML instead of a less than sign. Okay, I guess so. So I had to write hideous code to decompose it that looks like this. Notice how many XML cross applies there are in here. There are four, right, because I have to cast from text back to XML back to text again so I can do that. And once I've done that, then I actually have to get the handle from the text, which means what? This only works if your plan is still in the cache by the time you run this, right? Yeah, I know. It's not as good as it could be. I was hoping they'd fix this time. Okay. So let's go ahead and reformat the data. And what we see when we reformatted it is we got our error in C, which was called by B, which was called by A, which is exactly what we wanted to see. Cool. SQL stack. I like that one. Okay. Now, I'm going to do one more, and this is the one that I failed to do last time. Actually, I failed at quite a few things last time. This is the one that's going to write to ETW. So ETW trace is a Windows trace, and for the ETW trace, we have what's called the default ETW, the ETW classic sync target. Notice it is synchronous. And because ETW is an old-style technology and SQL Server had to support ETW before, before 2008 Server and before Vista when it was in its infancy or first pass, you can only do one of these traces at a time. So what I'm going to trace is IO activity. Hopefully they haven't changed the name of any of these. So I'm going to create an event session for IO activity, and I'm going to alter the session to start it. And while it's running, I'm going to add more events to the running session. So you don't have to bring the session down and start it back up to make those events go together. There we go. And at this point now, I'm going to shell out to the outside world and start a kernel trace at the same time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to trace the kernel for disk and file activity. I'm going to start the trace right now. I'm going to output it to ctemp-trace.etl, and I'm going to use 1024BS, and I'm going to use the high-performance system clock. Okay, fine. And by the way, this is running SQL Server Management Studio in SQL command mode, so this should just... There we go. So I'm now running a kernel trace at the same time I'm running a SQL trace. Everybody okay with this? Great. So let's do some activity so we can see something in this trace. There's some activity, and I think I have DW2008. Okay, so we'll do this. Great. All right, so Smarty, let's just get rid of this and go here. I just need to cause something to happen. There. So I'm going to write a bunch of rows. There we go. And now what I want to do is stop the trace at both places. So I have to go out to logman and stop the kernel trace. There it goes. And I have to go out to logman and stop the ETW trace. If I don't, I can't run an ETW trace again unless I bounce the whole system. Remember, because ETW is limited to one in a row. So I do have to stop this. And once I stop this, there we go. I also have to stop the event session. And this isn't redundant. There we go. Oh. Do I have XPerf on this server? Okay. So I think this is going to be air demo from here. There's a program called XPerf that's part of the Windows Performance Toolkit that you want to install on the server, which actually is a graphic user interface program, but also has a lot of utility functions. One of the functions is to take two of those ETW files, or as many as you want, and make them into one ETW file. So I can actually look at the SQL Server trace side by side with the ETW kernel trace. And I can actually do this in a graphic user interface. You've seen the graphic user interface. Nobody else has seen it. And nobody else is going to because it's a new virtual PC. So what I would use is to use XPerf to merge these two guys together. So to merge ETW and SQL 2 together in one. And then what I'm going to do is to also merge the other trace in there as well. And when I do this, I end up with a temp out.etl. Now, I don't have one of those. So just to prove that this is just for the fun of it, let's see if maybe XPerf doesn't come with the system. That would be too good. No, XPerf doesn't come with the system. Okay. So you do have to get that and install it. But let's just see where our trace files are because we have shut everything down and we should have trace files. 20 minutes to go. Oh, goodness, I want to go back to the root of C. There, there. And both of these were in temp, I believe. And there should be trace files in there someplace. There's a TRC one. There's sqletw.etl right here. That's the SQL trace. And there's trace.etl right here. That's the kernel trace. So basically, you can put those together, see them at once. Kind of nice, huh? And I did do the demo right this time, except that I didn't put XPerf on this machine. Okay. So that was a little bit about what you can do with event sessions if you make up your own event sessions. And really, event sessions just specify events and actions and targets. And I've always had one target in the ones that I'm showing you. You can have multiple targets as well. So you can put it out to multiples. So what's available in extended events? Well, extended events has a hierarchy of things. And the first part of the hierarchy is something called modules. A module is a DLL that contains the collection information for what they're going to collect in extended events. Packages are just subgroups and modules. And we'll actually go through all this metadata and see what you get. So modules are DLLs which contain packages. Packages can have any of these items in them. So packages can contain events, targets, actions, types, predicates, and maps. So that's what this says. Module is a DLL or an XE. It's loaded on demand. A package is a container for objects identified by a GUID. Now, a package does not necessarily have to contain all the object types, and it's not a boundary. Any packages types can be used with any other packages types. There is one exception to this, and the one exception to this is auditing. Auditing packages stand alone, and the auditing types cannot be used with anyone else's types. So let's go and bring up my metadata one. I'm sorry if this is a little off topic, but really, when you said you hadn't done extended events before, it's like, oh, well, let's do that then. Okay, because we're doing the Denali stuff as we go along. So I have another project out here called metadata, and this is going to list all the metadata. Remember, there wasn't a GUI. By the way, that guy Jonathan that I was showing you his name that I work with, Jonathan actually wrote a GUI for extended events. So I am no longer the best extended event person even in my own company, right? And not only did he write a GUI, but he wrote a SQL Server Management Studio add-in so you could make up event sessions with his GUI in Management Studio. It's like, was that too cool or what? And then I said, well, you know what would be really good for this is an object model so you could use it with PowerShell. And so he wrote that too. So I couldn't help but think that he was a little bit disappointed when they actually decided to put this in the package in SQL Server, right, in Denali. So if I want to see what packages are on my system, I just use this. And these are the packages that I have. Now, package 0 is just a utility package. In fact, there's not very much in it. But you saw it had those counters, right, those predicate counters. SQL OS is the events that has to do with how SQL Server interacts with the underlying operating system. SQL Server, notice there's two SQL Servers because packages are identified by GUIDs, not by name. And so there are two packages called SQL Server. There's one for auditing. There's one for UCS, which is the Unified Communication Stack. And don't ask me what the Unified Communication Stack is doing in Denali just yet, but there are events for it apparently. And then there's a SQL CLR package for events in the CLR. So if you're running .NET, you can look at stuff there. So now that I've seen what packages I have, what events do I have again? So if I look at the events, basically what I'm going to do is just look at the events right here in Denali by doing a join between objects and packages where the object type is equal to event. Sure. There we go. And so notice that package 0 only has one event. There's only two events in auditing. There's only three events for CLR. And this is all the stuff that you can look at with extended events. You can actually watch the thing malloc memory. You can watch the scheduler work. You can look for task aborted, task completed, broker events. And how many of these guys are there? 449 in Denali. Why are there so many in Denali compared to the number there were in 2008 or 2008 release 2? Because when extended events was first put out, they didn't put all the events in extended events that they have in Profiler. So in Denali, they've actually added all of the events that you have in Profiler plus all of the events that they already had. There's a couple they took out, which means that it's a superset of Profiler. Everybody okay with that? Now, actually, you can use this to, and I wrote a database where I saved off stuff from other times to, where is it? This one, Denali versus Release 2, to show me all the events that are in Denali that aren't in Release 2. So in this case, let's do, I was actually using three-part names here. So these are in Denali, but not in Release 2, and there's 255 new events that are in Denali. There's the ones that weren't in Release 2. So not only have they made this a lot more usable, or about to, but they put in a lot more events. However, there's 65 that they took out. And it turns out, I tried to do a analysis of this. They really redid all the broker events, and they also redid all the buffer events. So to see buffers and to see broker, they do it a different way, apparently, in Denali. And events that are the same, there's only 194 events that are the same. Great. So you can see what's different and what's not different by using this mechanism. Okay. So available packages, the ones in red are the ones that are new. By the way, it upset Jonathan terribly that there were two packages called SQL Server because his program was actually going by name. And he said that was a mistake on the event folks part. And I said, but if they didn't have GUIDs, I mean, if they had GUIDs all along, you knew they weren't going to be unique by name. They weren't going to be guaranteed to be unique by name. You could have figured that out, right? Oh, well. He said, well, it really was a mistake. Okay. Events are trace point and code. You see this. They can be added to running event sessions. You've already seen that. And events have a versionable schema. You've already seen that they have a versionable schema where? Well, remember one of the fields in the error event was error in 2008, and it was error reported in Denali. They've changed the schema, right? That was why my program didn't work the first time, and I had to go back and change it. Some also have columns that you can customize. And in Denali, they also allow you to have user-specific events. So if you write a package and you're selling that package and you want to have people able to diagnose that package, you can invoke a system stored procedure from within your package, you know, not your extended event package, but the program that you wrote. Suppose you were SAP. You could put things in the SAP SQL code to actually say Tracepoint 1 from SAP, and then you can collect those with extended event. Just the same thing as you could do with Profiler, right? And there's a system stored procedure that you say, put out user event number 1, put out user event number 2, right? And you can also put out more information than that. Events in Denali, so again, they added events for all the trace events. They also added events for what used to be called Hadron, High Availability Disaster Recovery, which now they call Always On. And there's new packages for SQL CLR or UDS, and there's additional event refactoring, which you've seen. Notice that there are some events that are missing from Denali. So that means that existing events, existing DDL may break. You've seen mine break right there. The target is the event consumer, and so let's go over and look at some of the targets. You can have a synchronous target or an asynchronous target. They can process event over time, or you can buffer events. The event session can specify what to do if the target can't keep up. If the target can't record things as fast as you can do it, is the target supposed to lose events, or are they not supposed to lose events? And the premise with extended events, and I heard Mike say this over and over again in a talk that he gave, is that the first rule of extended events is you do not slow down the system to collect information. In other words, the purpose of extended events is not to collect so much information that you slow down the system, and they always make sure the speed of the system is the same, or try and make it as much the same as possible. Okay, so here's the targets that we have. So the ETW classic sync target, we already saw that work. The synchronous or asynchronous bucketizer target. What does the bucketizer target do? It makes things into buckets. Well, what? Whatever you want. You tell it the event that you want to make into buckets. Like, what might that event be? Oh, maybe some weight stats, right? You want to look at some weight counters, and they might bucketize it into how many buckets? You decide. And what are the bucket limits? You decide that too. So I can decide to bucketize things into 6 buckets, which have 0, 100, 200, 300, 400. Right, and they're recorded in the bucketizer exactly that way. Everybody okay with that? I don't believe that's something you can do with Profiler. Okay, the asynchronous file target, so you can actually write these events to a file. The synchronous event counter, what's the event counter going to do? Count, that's all it's going to do. So what do you get at the end of the day? Counts. What does that sound like? Sounds like Profiler with counts, right? But yeah, and you can collect any of these with counts. The ring buffer we've already seen. Audit targets, auditing can write to a file, or the security log, or the application log. And in SQL Server Denali Service Pack 1, and you only do this by looking at the metadata, there's an odd new one that they didn't tell you what it does, called the SQL Server Router. Now, if there's one called the Router, and this is going to replace Profiler, what do you think they might route it to? Well, maybe the thing so you could look at it, right? Okay, that's my guess. Right, and by the way, it is just a wild guess, right? I don't really know. Okay, so, and the way you get these is basically just to go up here and look at all targets, and I'm going to give you this for your own, obviously, for your own use, and we'll just go look at them. Notice what I do is I take the package name and the event and the name of the thing, and I put make them into a two-part name. So there's the ones right there, and you can see the mysterious SQL Server.router. Routes events to listeners. Oh, okay. So somebody must be listening somewhere. Okay. So that's new in Denali. That's a red thing. Actions add additional data to the event, and actions can add additional context like a stack trace, a transact SQL stack. You can actually call for a dump if an event happens, right? And it'll dump SQL Server. And actions are invoked synchronously. So don't go wild with these actions, because this can actually slow things down if you add a lot of actions. Don't add actions you don't intend to use. Just like with Profiler. Predicates, they're filters, sure. Predicate filter events at publish time. They're Boolean expressions. You can have global expressions or local expressions. And predicates can store and use state, like fire every nth time. So let's show you, I'll just show you rather than run it for you, an event session that fires every 10th time. Okay, which should be right here, sampling traces. There's actually two of these. This where clause actually says package 0 divides by uint 64, and then SQL Server session ID, comma 2. And so what is this going to do? It's going to sample every other session. So basically, it's going to take your session ID and divide it by 2. And it is only going to sample odd-numbered sessions or even-numbered sessions. Everybody okay like this? It's going to actually sample even-numbered sessions. Divide by 2 is equal to true. This one gets you every 10th session. So again, use the divides by predicate, put the thing, the counter, and then put what you want to divide it by, 10. So it's going to capture every 10th event. That's nice if you want to sample things. Remember, the less you capture, the less it's going to slow the system down. Okay, 9 minutes to go. So you better roll here. Okay, life of an event. So before collection, is the event enabled? So even if it hits that piece of code, they won't collect anything if it's not enabled. Well, sure. If it is enabled, then the event data itself is collected. Okay, so the ones that are in there already. Then, after collection, they go and do the predicate evaluation and actually see if that's the right thing. They can't do the predicate evaluation first because they have to collect the data to be able to compare it to something. Okay, great. After that, they publish the information. They execute the actions synchronously, and then the synchronous targets are served because those have to go out right away, and they're buffered for the asynchronous targets. Great, no sweat. Types and maps. Types are just complex types. Imagine if you're C-sharp or C++ programmer, structures, right? So they have structures that you can collect as well. And maps are just enumerated constants. So rather than have to put in all of the numbers of all of the weight stats like the guys did at PSS, if you had a map for the weight stats, you could actually put in the names for the weight stats. Cool. Right. By the way, I have a favorite enumerated constant in SQL Server. Is this the right time to say this? Yeah, people are falling asleep. I could get a laugh. Right. The favorite enumerated constant that I have is the transaction isolation level that SQL Server does not support, where writers don't block other writers, but it's in transact.h. Anybody know the transaction isolation level? Where writers don't block other writers? It's actually in the Jim Gray Black Book, right? Principles of Transaction Processing. This isolation level is called isolation level chaos, right? So you can actually, that's my favorite enumerated constant. My second favorite one would be the Access OLADB provider, which has an enumerated constant called Alcatraz locking model, right? I don't know what Alcatraz locking is, but it sounds interesting. Okay, so you can't make up your own maps, but they've made up a bunch of their own type maps. They're enumerated constants. So to go back and revisit what we've done over and over again, create an event session, alter it to start it or stop it. You can add or drop it while it's going. By the way, you cannot add actions to an event, I believe, or subtract actions from an event. You actually have to drop the event and then add the event with the new actions. But you can add new events if you'd like to. By the way, they have this thing called causality tracking that they're not implementing now. It would be really nice if they implement causality tracking to be able to trace from the server across to the client, especially when they're using the ETW provider, right? Because the clients all have ETW providers as well, as you well know. Okay. Extended event metadata. Well, we've been looking at this. There are two types of metadata. Catalog views for defined session information and dynamic management views for metadata and currently active sessions. So if you figure that the event sessions actually keep data about the ones that I've already defined and metadata about the rest of the system, that's the extended event metadata. Use cases, well, we did this one. We didn't do this one, use with the client API for end-to-end tracing, but I did that Wednesday. Monitor locks. The bucketizer and the event pairer are good here. There's an event pairing target I didn't tell you about, which basically you give it two events to look at. Say one is lock taken and the other one is lock released. Now, this doesn't work as good as it sounds, but what happens is it records when locks are taken, and when the lock is released, it gets rid of that one. So when you stop tracing, or when you go and look at the things in your trace, you only get the locks that have been taken but not released. The problem is sometimes they release locks at a different granularity that they take them, and so it doesn't look as nice as you'd think. Weight analysis, you can actually capture the weight stats on a per session basis now, which is nice with extended events, and auditing uses these. 5 minutes to go. So you've seen this one already? Catalog views, you've seen this one already too, except that I was just doing them for you. And dynamic management views, you've seen these already as well. We've done some of them. And like I said, I'll give you that whole project I have, which is XE metadata, which took me about, a couple of days to come up with. Denali X events are in SSMS, and we've already seen that one. You can import or export sessions to and from an XML format, and you can start PowerShell there. If you actually go into Management Studio and you go to the extended event thing over here, there we go, and you can say start PowerShell, it starts it right in the right place. Notice SQL Server, X event, ZMV11 default. So let's drill down here and see what we have. Okay, packages turn out to be the metadata. What is out there that I can use? And you've already seen me trundle through the metadata, right? Directory packages. And there's the six packages. What do I have in the SQL Server? Let's do SQL CLR. What do I have in the SQL CLR package? We have actions and events and maps and all the stuff that I was talking about. They just call them in the object model info sets. Okay, so what do I have in the event info set? There. There's the three events that they have in SQL CLR package. So this is metadata about the eventing system itself. Everybody okay with that? Now, sessions, the other one, is about the defined sessions. So let's go and look at sessions. There. So these are all the sessions that I have defined, whether they're defined to automatically start up, the system health is, and are they running currently or not. Notice there were some of them apparently I forgot to shut off. Ooh, I better do that. Okay. And now that I've done that, let's go look at sessions, dir sessions, and let's look at error session. There. So under error sessions, I have events and targets. So what is this? It's the definition of the session that I've put out there. I can tell if it's running or not, and this is the definition. So what do I have under events and targets? Okay, well, the event that I captured was SQL Server error reported. And so I can trundle through this just like I could trundle through the dynamic management views. And I can program this in PowerShell or in really any .NET language. So this is the Denali extended event object model. This is the SMO object model for extended events. This one comes from Mike Washell's blog as well. And basically you have store, package, session, and you've already seen a lot of these things, especially with 2 minutes left to go. PowerShell support, we just did the PowerShell support. And summary. Great, so you've seen extended events. It's an engine built into SQL Server. The two things that kept it from being adopted widely is, one, nobody knew it existed and you had to find out what the DDL was, and you had to find out what events were there by actually querying metadata. Two, it always puts out its data in XML format. Three, there wasn't a GUI for it. Did I say the two things? So there was at least three things why it wasn't adopted widely. In Denali, they're going to fix all those. And once they fixed all those, this should, like I said at the beginning, subsume SQL Trace, SQL Profiler, because it collects more information with less overhead, it's more granular, and you can do more things with it. Any questions? I have 1 minute, 9 seconds left to go. Bob finally finished a talk on time. Yeah, exactly. What is that, 1 out of 9? Oh, that's good. Okay. No questions at all? Everybody's like, the room is too hot. We have to leave. I agree. Okay, well, this is the last talk that I'm going to do. So, again, all the stuff will be posted. The slides will be posted on their site. The demos will be posted on our site. And thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it.